Hey, crime connoisseurs. If you're like me, you love diving into a good book. I especially love finding a book about cases we cover. But sometimes it's hard to find the time to sit and read. We live in an on-the-go society. Thankfully, Audible makes it easy to instantly access the books we love without sacrificing our time. With over 180,000 audiobooks and more, you will undoubtedly find one that will grip you and leave you not wanting to pull away while still being able to do other things. You can get a free 30-day trial membership by going to audibletrial.com/ccpod to start listening to your favorite books. That's audibletrial.com/ccpod for your free 30-day trial membership. Welcome back, crime connoisseurs. I'm your host, Grace D. Last week, we covered the beginning of Aaron Hernandez's life and his football career. We left off with the murder of Odin Lloyd. So if you haven't listened to part one yet, stop and go give it a listen. In our previous episode, we delved into the shocking events surrounding the former NFL player's life and the crimes that ultimately led to his downfall. Today, we continue our exploration, uncovering new details and shedding light on the complex web of circumstances that surrounded Aaron's troubled existence. In this episode, we will dive even deeper into the investigations, trials, and aftermath of the crimes committed by Aaron Hernandez. We'll examine the evidence presented in court, the testimonies of key witnesses, and the legal strategies employed by both the prosecution and the defense. As we navigate through the intricacies of the case, we'll strive to understand the motives behind Aaron's actions and their impact on the lives of those involved. But the story goes beyond the courtroom. We'll also explore the psychological and societal factors that may have contributed to his descent into violence, examining the influences of fame, wealth, and the pressure of professional sports. So buckle up, ladies and gents, as we embark on this gripping quest of one of the most notorious cases in recent memory. Please be advised that the content discussed in this episode may be disturbing and sensitive. The topic of suicide will be discussed in this episode. If you or someone you know is struggling and having suicidal thoughts, help is available. You can call or text 988 to speak with someone. Listener discretion is advised. On June 17, 2013, the body of Odin Lloyd, a semi-professional football player who was a linebacker for the Boston Bandits football team, was found shot multiple times in an industrial park near North Attleboro, Massachusetts. Odin Lloyd was dating Shania Jenkins, the sister of Aaron Hernandez's girlfriend, Cheyenne Jenkins. At the crime scene, detectives found a white towel, a half-smoked blunt, five .45 caliber shell casings, tire tracks, and shoe prints. On Odin's person, they found his wallet, allowing them to ID him, and two sets of rental car keys. They quickly worked the scene as they learned that rain was about to come in. They tarped over Odin's body and the evidence that they found and promptly made impressions of the shoe print and the tire tracks before the rain could ruin it. Since the industrial park area where Odin's body was found was near a gold refinery, there were surveillance cameras all over the area. So investigators began reviewing the surveillance videos. The police also ran the car keys found on Odin's person, and those corresponded to a car rented by Aaron Hernandez. After identifying the keys as belonging to Aaron Hernandez's rental agreement, Detective Dan Origi and a Massachusetts state trooper drove to Aaron's home about a mile from where Odin Lloyd's body was. They arrived at the home at 9:40 p.m. and approached his front door. The officers rang the doorbell at around 9:45, but no answer. Seeing cars parked in the driveway and lights on in the house, the officers peeked into Aaron's windows, then canvassed the perimeter of his house and glanced into the garage. Detective Origi and the state trooper then walked over to a neighbor's home who happened to be New England Patriots assistant coach Joe Judge. Joe attempted to get Aaron's cell phone number for them. The officers then returned to their car and watched for activity inside the house. According to Detective Origi, Aaron came out of his house at around 10:30 p.m. The two greeted each other in the driveway and shook hands. They began a brief conversation during which Aaron said he had been monitoring the officers through his home surveillance system. According to Detective Origi, Aaron also referred to Odin as, quote, my boy O, end quote, during the conversation. As Detective Origi asked Aaron more and more questions related to Odin, Detective Origi said that Aaron became agitated and angrily walked away. However, Aaron agreed to drive over to the North Attleboro Police Station, along with his fiance, Cheyenne Jenkins, and their baby daughter. After dropping off Aaron at the police station, Cheyenne began to drive home. Detective Origi and the state trooper followed Cheyenne and pulled her car over at 11 p.m., even though no traffic violation had occurred. Detective Origi said that the two wanted to speak with Cheyenne and asked her to return to the police station. The next day, the police searched the Hernandez home in connection with an investigation into the shooting death of friend Odin Lloyd, whose body was found with multiple gunshot wounds to the back and chest in an industrial park about a mile from the Hernandez residence. The following day, Aaron assured Patriots head coach Bill Belichick and owner Robert Kraft that he had nothing to do with the shooting. Despite this, Aaron was banned from Gillette Stadium lest it became the site of a media stakeout. The team also decided that they would sever all ties with Aaron if he were arrested on any charge related to the case. The manager of the Enterprise Rent-A-Car in North Attleboro called police on June 20th, 2013, and told them that possible evidence in the murder of Odin Lloyd had been cleaned out of a Nissan Altima that had been rented to Aaron Hernandez. Detective Michael Elliott immediately drove to the car rental agency and met with several members of the Massachusetts State Police. The office manager told him that the car had been cleaned and possible evidence discarded into a dumpster. One of the troopers climbed into the container and removed several items: a .45 caliber shell casing attached to blue bubble gum, a water bottle, and a crumbled up piece of paper. As police combed through surveillance videos, they found footage of Aaron dancing at a gas station as he entered the store. He is then seen purchasing Bubblicious cotton candy flavored gum at the gas station convenience store when he drove to Boston on June 16th, 2013 to pick up Odin. On June 21st, 2013, police found surveillance videos placing Aaron and Odin together the night of the murder. That same day, Aaron made trips to his lawyers and a gas station, and his movements were tracked by media helicopters. 2 days later, Aaron's home was searched again for 4 hours. This time, canine officers assisted in the search. On June 26th, the infamous image of Aaron Hernandez being walked out of his home in red shorts and a white t-shirt that was placed over him after his hands were cuffed behind him took place. Aaron was arrested and charged with first-degree murder in addition to one count of carrying a firearm without a license, 2 counts of possessing a large-capacity firearm, and 2 counts of possessing a firearm without a firearm identification card. About 90 minutes later, the Patriots released Aaron from the team before being officially informed of the charges against him. Aaron was held without bail at the Bristol County, Massachusetts Jail and House of Correction. On June 27th and 28th, 2013, Carlos Ortiz and Ernest Wallace were also arrested in connection with Odin Lloyd's death. Carlos Ortiz told police that Aaron secretly rented an apartment in Franklin, Massachusetts. The Associated Press reported a subsequent search of the apartment that, quote, turned up ammunition and clothing that police believe could be evidence in the murder case against him, end quote. Carlos was held on a $500,000 bail. After his arrest for the murder of Odin Lloyd, Bill Belichick prohibited Aaron's name from being spoken in the locker room. Rob Gronkowski repeatedly declined to answer any questions about Aaron in interviews, and he nearly walked out during a CBS interview in 2013 until the reporter agreed to change the subject away from his former teammate. On June 28th, the police recovered the silver Chrysler that they believed Aaron, Odin, and the 2 other men were in the night of Odin's murder. On July 3rd, the Gainesville police released a 51-page report on the 2007 double shooting in which Aaron Hernandez was questioned. It's believed that an argument about a gold necklace may have sparked that shooting. On July 9th, text messages between Aaron and Odin on the night of the murder surfaced in documents unsealed by law enforcement. A grand jury in Suffolk County, Massachusetts, then began hearings on July 24, 2013, for the 2012 double murder. The next day, the surveillance videos from Aaron's home were made public for the first time, and they appear to show him holding a gun. On July 30th, 2013, police divers searched a lake in Bristol, Connecticut, for the murder weapon in Odin Lloyd's murder, but found nothing. On August 19, 2013, police in Springfield, Massachusetts, found the gun used in the 2012 double murder in Boston, but still have been unable to turn up the gun used in Odin Lloyd's murder. 3 days later, Aaron was indicted by a grand jury for the murder of Odin Lloyd. And on September 3, 2013, Aaron's lawyers filed a postponement request in federal court until his murder charges were resolved. Aaron pled not guilty on September 6th. Uncover the secrets of your dog's DNA with Wisdom Panel, the world's leading canine genetics test. With a simple cheek swab, Wisdom Panel can reveal your dog's breed, ancestry, health traits, and so much more. Understanding your dog's genetic background can help you provide the best care possible. Whether it's identifying potential health risks, understanding their behavior, or simply satisfying your curiosity about your dog's unique heritage, Wisdom Panel delivers the insights you need. Their state-of-the-art technology analyzes over 350 breeds, types, and varieties, and screens for over 200 genetic health conditions. Plus, their easy-to-understand reports make it simple to learn about your dog's genetics. Join the millions of pet parents discovering their dog's story with Wisdom Panel. Order your kit today and start exploring your dog's DNA. Because every dog has a tale, and Wisdom Panel helps you tell it. Go to wisdompanel.pxf.io/ccpod to learn more about your four-legged friend. That's wisdompanel.pxf.io/ccpod. Ernest Wallace was charged as an accessory after the fact in Odin Lloyd's murder on September 19th. Then on September 27th, Carlos Ortiz was indicted on a single count of accessory to the murder after the fact in the killing of Odin. In addition, Aaron's fiancée, Shayana Jenkins, and his cousin, Tanya Cummings Singleton, were also charged as accessories to murder for their suspected involvement in assisting Aaron after the killing of Odin Lloyd. 2 months later, on November 27, 2013, Aaron pleaded the Fifth Amendment in response to Alexander Bradley's lawsuit. In part one, we covered how Alexander Bradley filed a lawsuit against Aaron Hernandez for shooting him in the head and him going blind in one eye. Odin Lloyd's family filed a wrongful death suit against Aaron Hernandez on December 19, 2013. And about a month later, Boston police documents are revealed that connected Aaron to the 2012 double murder for the first time. Things are quiet for a couple of months after this. But on April 11th, charges against Carlos Ortiz and Ernest Wallace in Odin Lloyd's death were upgraded to murder. 2 weeks after that, on May 1st, Aaron was charged with assault in a fight with a fellow jail inmate. 2 weeks after that, Aaron was then indicted for the murders of Daniel D'Abreu and Saferio Furtado in the 2012 double homicide outside of the Cure nightclub in Boston's South End. On May 28th, Aaron pleaded not guilty to the 2012 double murder. Prosecutors claim that the crime stemmed from a spilled drink. On June 16, 2014, a tentative trial date of October 6th was set for the case of Odin Lloyd's killing. Then on June 24, 2013, the trial date for the 2012 double murders in Boston was set for May of 2015. 2 months later, Bristol County Superior Court Judge E. Susan Garsh threw out evidence from two cell phones and three tablets taken from Aaron's home during the investigation of Odin's death. She said there were problems with the warrant. On October 2, 2014, Judge Garsh threw out several pieces of evidence that the prosecutors conceded were gathered improperly. Carlos Ortiz's cell phone, boxes of .45 caliber ammunition, and a Glock 45 caliber magazine loaded with ammunition whose brands matched the brands of the ammunition found at the scene of Odin Lloyd's shooting. On October 10, 2014, Judge Garsh denied a defense motion to exclude Aaron's cell phone as evidence. She said that Aaron's legal team freely and voluntarily gave investigators the phone. And then several weeks later, she also rejected a defense motion for a change of venue. On November 25th, 2014, the trial for the 2012 slayings was delayed indefinitely. A couple weeks after that, on December 12th, 2014, Judge Garsh ruled that prosecutors could not present evidence in the 2012 killings during the trial for Odin Lloyd's murder. It's been reported that Shayana Jenkins sought out immunity from prosecution in exchange for her testimony against Aaron on January 7th, 2015. And then 2 days later, on January 9th, Aaron's trial for the shooting death of Odin Lloyd began in Fall River, Massachusetts. After missing juror delay, Aaron's trial for the shooting death of Odin Lloyd opened with murder scene details. On January 29, 2015, the trial began in Fall River, Massachusetts, with opening statements from prosecuting attorney Patrick Bomberg and defense attorney Michael Fee. Judge E. Susan Garsh presided. The trial was expected to take about 10 weeks. But the trial was delayed on a few occasions due to the unprecedented snowfall in Greater Boston. In opening statements, prosecutors said that Aaron's DNA was found at the murder scene. On February 10, 2015, Judge Garsh approved the prosecution's request to grant immunity to Aaron's fiancée, Shayana Jenkins, so that she could be called to testify in the former Patriots' murder trial. Detective Elliott testified that Aaron voluntarily came to the police station around 11:15 p.m. on June 18, 2013, the day after Odin Lloyd's murder. He was placed in an interview room. Detective Elliott also testified that he watched Aaron via surveillance camera. At one point, Detective Elliott said that Aaron plugged his cell phone into the wall and laid down on the floor next to the phone charging. Around 2 a.m. on June 19th, Detective Elliott watched Aaron leave the police station and meet another man in the parking lot. He trained the surveillance camera outside the building on Aaron when he got into a car. Then Detective Elliott testified that Aaron disassembled his cell phone and made a call on the phone of his lawyer, Robert Jones. William M. McCulley, the lead prosecutor, said that Aaron placed a call to Wallace. Detective Elliott said that he watched Aaron's movements for about 20 minutes in the parking lot. Prosecutors played a 5 to 8 minute videotape for the jury that recorded his activities inside the car. Detective Elliott testified that on June 18th, the police executed a search warrant at the Hernandez home to look for guns, clothing, Aaron's cell phone, and surveillance equipment. He testified that they found .22 caliber bullets in the black lockbox that was left unlocked. During a brief cross-examination, James Sultan questioned Detective Elliott about the surveillance camera in the interview room and outside the police station. Sultan said, quote, "You wanted to see what Aaron was doing, correct?" End quote. Detective Elliott responded yes. Then Sultan accused the detective of using a camera feature to zoom in on Aaron in the car, which Detective Elliott acknowledged that he had done. On March 4, 2015, prosecutors in the Odin Lloyd trial tried to introduce the Florida shooting into the case, although the judge had ruled before the trial began that the case could not be brought up. Aaron's lawyers had filed a motion to have it kept out. In court, prosecutors argued that Aaron Hernandez murdered Odin Lloyd after an altercation in a Boston nightclub on June 14th. However, the reason for the altercation was not clear, with some saying that it was because Odin was talking to people involved in the 2012 shooting, and others saying it was because he knew that Aaron was gay and wasn't going to keep his mouth shut. Various pieces of evidence have emerged about Aaron Hernandez's sexuality, but that remains relatively murky overall. Detective Arrighi testified to when he and the Massachusetts State Trooper went to the Hernandez residence, looking around the property and looking for Aaron. Aaron's attorney, James Sultan, conducted a very combative cross-examination of Detective Arrighi. Sultan forced Detective Arrighi to acknowledge essential and arguably exonerating details about the circumstances of the visit to the Hernandez home, including Arrighi and the state trooper were not wearing police uniforms when they visited the Hernandez residence. Instead, they wore shirts and ties, and although the state trooper's badge and gun were visible on his belt, Sultan described the outfits as civilian clothing, whereas Arrighi characterized them as business attire. Regardless, Sultan suggested that the two cops might not have looked like cops, especially so late at night. The officers waited in an unmarked Ford Escape. This arguably could have made them seem suspicious to Aaron and his fiance, particularly given that Aaron used drugs and perhaps interacted with drug dealers. The officers also had no invitation to walk around the perimeter of Aaron's home, and they did not have a search warrant. Sultan wanted jurors to conclude that the officers acted more like trespassers rather than officers. It was late at night and unusual, if not altogether inappropriate, for the time of the officers to knock on someone's door. Sultan hoped that the jurors imagined being home and hearing loud knocks on their door at around 10 p.m., they may not answer the door and could wonder if the person or persons knocking are a threat. Aaron was under no legal obligation to answer the door. This is an obvious but important point. Citizens have no legal duty to answer their door when there is a ring or a knock. Sultan also chastised Detective Arrighi for pulling Shanna over, given that it was 11 p.m., and that he knew she had a baby in the car, and there was no traffic violation. Sultan framed Detective Arrighi as an over-aggressive and insensitive person, whereas Detective Arrighi insisted he followed procedures and was being thorough. On April 9, 2015, a photographer for NBC affiliate WHDH-TV was banned from reporting and taking pictures at the trial, as one of their news trucks had followed a jury van the previous day. In closing statements, in light of substantial physical evidence provided by the prosecution, the defense admitted to Aaron being present during the murder, but downplayed his role. The defense said that he was an unwilling participant who, quote, was a 23-year-old kid who witnessed something, a shocking killing, committed by someone he knew. He really didn't know what to do, so he just put one foot in front of the other, end quote. Does your furry friend deserve the best? Of course they do. That's why there's BoxDog, a seasonal box of premium products designed just for your pooch. With BoxDog, you can spoil your pet with a fun and exciting selection of high-quality items, from gourmet treats and chew toys to comfy apparel and unique accessories. BoxDog has it all. Each box is packed with hand-selected products guaranteed to wag tails and bring joy. But BoxDog isn't just about products. It's about providing a personalized experience for your pet. You can customize each box to suit your dog's specific needs and preferences, ensuring they get what they love every time. And the best part? BoxDog delivers straight to your door, making it a convenient and hassle-free way to keep your pet pampered. So why wait? Treat your dog to the luxury they deserve with BoxDog, because every dog deserves a box full of happiness. Order your BoxDog today. Go to boxdog.pxf.io/ccpod. That's boxdog.pxf.io/ccpod. On April 15, 2015, Aaron Hernandez was found guilty of murder in the first degree, a charge that in Massachusetts automatically carries a sentence of life in prison without any possibility of parole. He was also found guilty of 5 firearm charges. A motive for the murder was never definitively established. Police investigated the possibility that Odin may have learned of Aaron's sexuality and that he was worried that Odin might out him to others. The Boston Globe described Aaron as being strangely content while in jail, an attitude that confused his fiance. He told his mother, quote, "I've been the most relaxed and less stressed in jail than I have out of jail," end quote. He was, however, punished on multiple occasions for breaking prison rules, including screaming and banging on his cell door. Over his 4 years behind bars, he increasingly turned to the Bible and became more religious. Aaron was not popular with his teammates and had few friends in the locker room. According to one of his teammates, he seemed to enjoy being an outcast on the team. Tom Brady was overheard after a game telling Tim Tebow that he was trying to steer Aaron in the right direction, but called him a lot to handle. Tebow had previously tried to help Aaron as well and enlisted Brady for the same purpose. Aaron was, however, known as one of the team's hardest working members. Acquaintances described Aaron as a follower who put himself in jeopardy by hanging out with a dangerous crowd. As a patriot, he hired 2 of his friends from Bristol as assistants, both of whom had criminal records. One of them was Alexander Bradley. He was a drug dealer. As his assistant, Bradley's other duties included calming Aaron down during fits of rage and paranoia and obtaining weapons and drugs for him. Other patriots said that Aaron often sought attention and seemed unhinged. However, by June 2013, Bill Belichick was running out of patience with Aaron and intended to notify the front office to have Aaron released from the team. In one of his letters from prison, Aaron criticized Robert Kraft as, quote, "fake-ass non-loyal," end quote, but he expressed admiration for several other of his teammates. He was the closest to Tom Brady and friendly with Julian Edelman and Dion Branch. He also called Rob Gronkowski, quote, "the best tight end to ever walk on the football field," end quote. The Boston Globe said that prison officials, quote, "seemed to turn a blind eye to Hernandez's drug use and neglected to safeguard their famous inmate," end quote. A fellow inmate reported multiple instances of Aaron needing medical attention after smoking too much K2, which was rife at the prison at the time. Aaron could speak to Shayana on the phone and often did twice a day, but she was facing perjury charges related to his arrest. He only saw his daughter when Shayana's mother brought her to visit. While in prison, he reconciled with his own mother, from who he had been estranged from for many years. While being held at the Bristol County Jail, Aaron was kept in a segregated unit, a bleak section that usually housed the mentally ill and violent. He asked to be moved out of segregation, but Sheriff Thomas M. Hodgson would not allow it. Aaron believed that Hodgson exploited his incarceration for publicity. After his conviction for the murder of Odin Lloyd, Aaron was transferred to cell 57 of the G2 block at Sousa Barnowski Correctional Center, a maximum security prison where inmates typically spend 20 hours a day in their cells. In his 2 years here, Aaron was disciplined dozens of times. His lawyer claimed that he was taunted relentlessly by guards. According to Kiko Thomas, who was serving 17 to 19 years with Aaron on a manslaughter charge, Aaron was, quote, seen as a fraud by many and a god by some, end quote. While in prison, Aaron continued to work out and anticipated returning to the NFL. On May 11, 2015, Aaron Hernandez was indicted for witness intimidation for the Alexander Bradley shooting, since Alexander was reportedly a witness to the 2012 Boston double homicide. The intimidation charge for Aaron carried a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison. On May 15th, the district attorney in Suffolk County, Massachusetts, said Alexander Bradley was a percipient witness to the double murder in Boston that Aaron was charged with committing in 2012. 3.5 months later, on August 27, 2015, Alexander Bradley, a friend and former assistant of Aaron Hernandez, received immunity from prosecutors in connection with a double murder case against him. On December 4th, guards at the Sousa Barnowski Correctional Center in Lancaster, Massachusetts, found a shank in Aaron's cell during a search of his prison block. After the incident, he was removed from the general population and put in an isolated unit. In February 2016, Aaron settled the lawsuit with Alexander. The terms of the settlement were not disclosed. In part one, Alexander had wanted $5 million to keep his silence, and Aaron had countered with $1.5 million. And then Alexander Bradley asked for $2.5 million. After that, Aaron didn't respond and allowed his attorneys to handle everything, but they were unable to make a settlement until now. On May 12, 2016, Ernest Wallace, friend of Aaron Hernandez, was acquitted of murder in the 2013 killing of Odin Lloyd. But Wallace was found guilty of being an accessory after the fact to the murder. On June 8, 2016, Jose Baez, yes, that same Jose Baez who represented Casey Anthony in 2011, he was retained to serve as lead counsel for Aaron during his double homicide trial. On December 20th, 2016, Aaron was identified as the trigger man in the 2012 shooting of Daniel D'Abreu and Safiro Furtado. And due to his 2013 arrest and subsequent conviction for the murder of Odin Lloyd, Massachusetts authorities contacted police in Florida to try to determine whether Aaron was suspected of having a role in the 2007 shooting. Detective Tom Mullins, who was assigned to reinvestigate the shooting, concluded that Aaron was not the trigger man. Although Carson initially identified Aaron as the shooter, other witnesses that night described the shooter as looking like a black male, possibly with cornrows. When Detective Mullins re-interviewed Carson, Carson rescinded his statement of the shooter matching Aaron and said he never saw Aaron at the scene, but assumed he was the shooter because, quote, they had words earlier at the club, end quote. This charge was included in Aaron's trial for the double homicide, which began on March 1st, 2017. During the trial, it was revealed that Alexander texted his lawyer about the shooting in a deleted text message, which read, quote, "Now you sure once I withdraw this lawsuit, I won't be held on perjury after I tell the truth about me not recalling anything about who shot me," end quote. Jose Baez told Aaron Hernandez Uncovered that the prosecution wanted to speak with Shayana to inform her of the witness testimony before she found out in court. According to Baez, the prosecution was hoping that by disclosing this information to Shayana, she would turn on Aaron and effectively ruin his defense. When Baez spoke with Aaron about the possibility of his sexuality being discussed during the trial, Aaron was very concerned about how it would affect Shayana. George Leontire, Aaron's other defense attorney, echoed this by saying, quote, "His biggest concern about his sexuality was how it would impact Shayana and somehow diminish in her eyes the tremendous love that he felt for her. Here's a man who happened to be gay who loved a woman," end quote. Baez said, quote, "I could see the betrayal in her face when I mentioned the man that Aaron had an affair with. She knew him and had spent time with him and Aaron. She felt like a fool," end quote. George Leontire said, quote, "Aaron and I talked about his sexuality. This man clearly was gay, acknowledged it, acknowledged the immense pain that it caused him. I think that he also came out of a culture that was so negative about gay people that he exhibited some self-hatred," end quote. George told Aaron Hernandez Uncovered that he went to the judge and the prosecutors and said, quote, "The law is very clear about this issue. You cannot use a person's sexuality in the manner in which you were using it. It's been outlawed in this Commonwealth. And if you go forward with this theory, I can only promise you it will have repercussions, not only in this courtroom, but outside of this courtroom," end quote. Jose Baez added in his interview saying that George said, quote, "If you try this, I'm going to have the entire gay and lesbian community come out here. You'll see how powerful we can be," end quote. Hey, crime connoisseurs. If you're like me, you love diving into a good book. I especially love finding a book about cases we cover. But sometimes it's hard to find the time to sit and read. We live in an on-the-go society. Thankfully, Audible makes it easy to instantly access the books we love without sacrificing our time. With over 180,000 audiobooks and more, you will undoubtedly find one that will grip you and leave you not wanting to pull away while still being able to do other things. You can get a free 30-day trial membership by going to audibletrial.com/ccpod to start listening to your favorite books. That's audibletrial.com/ccpod for your free 30-day trial membership. One of the critical mistakes investigators made during the initial crime scene investigation was to carelessly leave the victims' bodies inside their vehicle as it was towed away as evidence. This was a significant violation for police protocol that disturbed the crime scene and helped make for a lack of physical evidence tying Aaron Hernandez to the shooting, all but assuring a not guilty verdict. On April 14, 2017, Aaron Hernandez was found not guilty in the double murder trial in Suffolk Superior Court. The jury did find him guilty on one count of illegal possession of firearms. They also acquitted him of the charge of witness intimidation. When the news of his acquittal was read on the TV, the inmates gathered around the television in the prison cheered. They kicked their cell doors and cheered when Aaron returned to the prison that night. In the 9 days between his acquittal and his death, Aaron gave his food, books, and even television to his fellow prisoners, but gave no indication that he intended to take his own life. According to a fellow inmate, gifts such as these were rare in prison, but not unusual for Aaron. In a jailhouse conversation, Aaron accused his mother, Terry, of failing to obtain medication for his ADHD, which he said caused him to struggle in school. In another call, he told her, quote, "There's so many things I would talk to you about so you can know me as a person, but I never could tell you. And you're gonna die without even knowing your son," end quote. On April 17, 2017, reporter Michelle McPhee appeared on the Kirk and Callahan Sports Radio Show, during which she and the two hosts used innuendos to imply that Aaron was gay. It has been suggested that this outing may have played a role in his suicide. The night it aired, it got back to Aaron. He had a call with a friend, and the friend said that it really bothered Aaron that people were talking about his sexuality. In the Oxygen special, Aaron Hernandez uncovered. Michelle McPhee said, quote, "It seemed to me this is something he had been planning for a while, long before I ever went on a talk radio show," end quote. Jerry Callahan had a lot more to say. He said, quote, "I'm not sure why everyone was afraid to report it. I guess it was this fear of being labeled a homophobe. When you're talking about a friggin' murderer, we reported it. If that pushed him over the edge, so be it. I have no regret. I don't know why anyone would," end quote. And I found it very interesting that he immediately went with people perceiving the homophobic route, because the segment they did with Michelle was in fact very homophobic. I'm going to read you part of the transcript from their show that I got from the Daily Mail. Jerry Callahan: "This rumor, this Aaron Hernandez rumor, which is so juicy, I want to get into it. It is big." Michelle McPhee: "I mean, hey, let's tease away." Jerry: "Michelle knows the real motive for the murder of Odin Lloyd. And let's just say that Odin Lloyd caught Aaron Hernandez in a compromising position." Michelle: "You could say that Aaron Hernandez was a former tight end before he was kicked off the Patriots." Kirk Minihan: "Tight end on and off the field as well?" Jerry: "And then he became a wide receiver." Kirk: "So you think he's comfortable in the prison lifestyle? He's probably doing well for himself romantically, perhaps." Michelle: "Let's just say that Aaron Hernandez is known to kick with both feet." Jerry: "And Odin Lloyd knew it. And Odin Lloyd, Michelle, he made the unfortunate move to say that out loud to somebody." Trigger warning: the topic of suicide is about to be discussed. Listener discretion is advised. On April 19, 2017, at 3:05 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 days after Aaron Hernandez was acquitted of the 2012 Boston double homicide of Daniel D'Abreu and Safiro Furtado, corrections officers found Aaron hanging with bedsheets from the window in his cell at the Souza Bernowski Correctional Center in Lancaster, Massachusetts. He was transported to UMass Memorial Hospital, Leominster, where he was pronounced dead at 4:07 a.m. He had been smoking K2, a drug associated with psychosis, within 30 hours of his death. A fellow inmate told investigators that he had spent much of the previous 2 days smoking the synthetic cannabinoid. The State Department of Corrections spokesman, Christopher Fallon, first said that no suicide note was found in the initial search of the two-person cell, which Aaron occupied alone. On April 20th, 2017, investigators reported that three handwritten notes were next to a Bible open to John 3:16, and that John 3:16 was written on his forehead in red ink. For anyone not familiar with the passage of John 3:16, it goes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believed in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Shampoo was found covering the floor. Cardboard was wedged under the cell door to make it difficult for someone to enter. And there were drawings in blood on the walls showing an unfinished pyramid and the all-seeing eye of God, with the word Illuminati written in capital letters underneath. The drawings were references to the Nation of Gods and Earths, a black supremacist movement. Aaron learned about the Nation of Gods and Earths, a movement influenced by Islam, through hip-hop culture while in prison. He also expressed an interest in Christianity, telling fellow prisoners that, quote, "We all have Jesus Christ inside of us," end quote. On April 21st, 2017, the judge ordered all evidence be preserved in Aaron Hernandez's suicide. The same day, investigative reporter Michelle McPhee wrote a story claiming that multiple people close to Aaron were on the record saying that Aaron was gay. The idea gained more traction when reports surfaced that Aaron had had an affair with a teammate named Dennis Sansui in high school and had even come out to his family. On April 24th, the court allowed Aaron Hernandez's family to see the alleged suicide notes, including the one he left for his fiancée, Shayana Jenkins. The following day on April 25th, Aaron's lawyers filed a motion with the Massachusetts Superior Court in Fall River to vacate his murder conviction. Jose Baez reprinted contents of the notes in his 2018 book, Unnecessary Roughness. One short letter was addressed to Baez, thanking him for securing the acquittal in the double homicide and anticipating an appeal in the Odin Lloyd case. In addition, Aaron asked Baez to pass along thanks to specific musicians whose songs he found inspiring. The other two notes were addressed to Aaron's fiance and daughter. Aaron's letter to Shanna said, quote, "You're rich," unquote, which prosecutors in the Odin Lloyd case believed was a reference to the abatement ab initio, the legal doctrine that vacates convictions if a defendant dies before their appeals are exhausted. In contrast to the straightforward letter to Baez, the lawyer described the other notes as written in a disjointed and markedly ominous tone. The Boston Globe described the letter to his daughter as, quote, "strange, rambling, mystical, and tender," end quote. In these notes, Aaron described entering a, quote, "timeless realm," end quote, and announced that he would see his family in heaven. Prison officials had not observed any signs that Aaron was at risk for suicide, so he had not been put on an around-the-clock watch. Upon completion of the autopsy by the medical examiner, the death was officially ruled a suicide by hanging. At the request of his family, Aaron's brain was released to Boston University to be studied for signs of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, a progressive degenerative disease found in people who have had a severe blow or repeated blows to the head, including football players. Baez quickly disputed any claim of suicide and stated that he would initiate his own investigation of the death. However, in 2018, Baez wrote that he was initially suspicious of the suicide finding, given that Aaron's optimistic demeanor after the acquittal in the double homicide. But he later came to believe Aaron had taken his own life, with CTE being a major contributing factor. After his brain was removed, Aaron's body was cremated and his ashes were given to his family. On May 9, 2017, Judge Garsh vacated Aaron Hernandez's conviction in the murder of Odin L. Lloyd, following the state's legal precedent that reverses convictions if a defendant dies before all appeal possibilities are exhausted. The Lloyd family was disappointed with the ruling, but their attorney did not believe it would affect the wrongful death civil suit that the family had filed. Odin Lloyd's mother, Ursula Ward, fought back against the ruling, saying Aaron would always be guilty in the eyes of her family. Ursula said, quote, "In our book, he's guilty, and he's going to always be guilty. But I know one day I'm going to see my son, and that's the victory that I have, and I am going to take with me. I am waiting for my master to say, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant, and welcome to the joys of my kingdom.' And that's when I'll see my baby again. I am not giving up. When God says the battle is over, the battle is over. So I'm holding on until he tells me to give up." End quote. On September 21st, 2017, Boston University's Center for Chronic Traumatic Encephalopathy announced that the study of Aaron's brain indicated a level 3 CTE, one step short of the most severe level. The Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court heard the appeal in November 2018, a year after Aaron's death. The attorney representing the Lloyd family, Thomas M. Quinn III, argued that Aaron was rightfully convicted of Odin's murder and that the conviction was unfairly wiped out. Quinn also argued that Aaron killed himself, knowing the technicality that would get his conviction thrown out, and that, quote, "he should not be able to accomplish in death what he never would have been able to do in life," end quote. In March of 2018, Alyssa Anderson told producers of Oxygen's Aaron Hernandez Uncovered that she and Aaron developed a, quote, "really, really strong relationship," end quote, while they were attending the University of Florida. Though they decided to break up when he was drafted by the New England Patriots in 2010, the two remained on good terms. Alyssa even reached out to Aaron when she heard he had been arrested in connection with the shooting of Odin Lloyd. Alyssa said, quote, "When I originally heard Aaron got in trouble, I wrote him a letter. That started kind of a back and forth for the next couple of years," end quote. During her interview with Aaron Hernandez Uncovered, she claims the letters became more revealing as his legal troubles mounted. Quote, "towards the end of his first trial into the second trial, the letters became more intense. He did open up about some of the struggles he had gone through as a kid. He admitted to being molested as a kid, but he never dealt with it, and it led to issues in his sexuality," end quote. In one of his letters, Alyssa said that Aaron admitted to being in a relationship with an unidentified man. Quote, "back in college, there was text messages I saw on his phone when he came back from a trip in Connecticut that was from a male that didn't have a name. It didn't really say too much, but it was a relationship with somebody. And when I questioned him about it, he always denied it. And then, in one of the letters, he opened up about it, and he did admit it," end quote. In an image of the letter that's been released, it says in part, quote, "please keep this between us, but it's not a shock. You caught me," end quote. On March 13, 2019, Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court reinstated the late Aaron Hernandez's first-degree murder conviction. The state's legal precedent vacates convictions if a defendant dies before all appeal possibilities are exhausted, which returned Aaron's case to its pretrial status. In their ruling, the court also officially ended the practice of abatement ab initio, ruling that it was outdated, never made sense, and was, quote, no longer consonant with the circumstances of contemporary life, if and in fact it ever was, end quote. After the ruling, Aaron's estate vowed to appeal the ruling further. In January 2020, Netflix released a docuseries called Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez, that chronicles Aaron's life and career, as well as his crimes and his death. It also probes into both his sexuality and the post-mortem diagnosis of chronic CTE. There is sufficient reason to believe that CTE played a significant role in why Aaron Hernandez murdered Odin Lloyd and why he may have committed other acts of seemingly inexplicable violence. Dr. Anne McKee, a neuropathologist who specializes in CTE at Boston University, studied Aaron's brain after his death and found it so plagued by CTE that she was shocked the brain she was examining was any younger than 46 years old. What is ultimately to blame for Aaron Hernandez's short, violent life is still something of a mystery. The toxic mix of brain damage suffered on the field, childhood trauma, and shame about his homosexuality likely all played a role in shaping his tragic fate. Despite the outcome of the trial, questions still linger about Aaron's past and what led him down such a destructive path. Some suggest that the trauma he experienced as a child, including the loss of his father at a young age, may have played a role. Others point to the potential impact that his NFL career had on his mental health, including the frequent head injuries he sustained while playing. Regardless of the reasons, Aaron's tragic end serves as a stark reminder of the dangers of unbridled ambition and the importance of seeking help when faced with mental health struggles. His story should inspire us all to prioritize self-care and seek assistance when we need it most. And that concludes our case on Aaron Hernandez and his crimes. Throughout this journey, we have explored the dark and complex world surrounding the former NFL player, shedding light on events that forever changed the lives of those involved. As we reflect on the story of Aaron Hernandez, it becomes clear that there are no simple answers or straightforward explanations. The case serves as a stark reminder of the complexities of human nature, the consequences of our choices, and the far-reaching impact of violence. We have examined the investigations, trials, and aftermath, seeking to understand the motivations and circumstances that led to these heinous acts. But beyond the courtroom drama, we have also explored the broader societal issues surrounding this case, such as the pressures of fame, the influence of professional sports, and the impact of personal struggles on mental health. In sharing this story, we hope to foster a deeper understanding of the factors contributing to such tragic events. Examining Aaron Hernandez's case reminds us of the importance of compassion, empathy, and early intervention in addressing the underlying issues that can lead individuals down a destructive path. I extend my deepest sympathies to the victims and their families who have endured unimaginable pain and loss. My thoughts are also with those who have been affected by similar acts of violence as we strive to create a safer and more compassionate society. Thank you for joining me on this gripping and thought-provoking journey. Remember, if you or someone you know is struggling and having suicidal thoughts, help is available. You can call or text 988 to speak with someone. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with your family and friends, and be sure to subscribe and follow. You can find Crime Connoisseurs wherever you listen to your podcasts and on Instagram at Crime Connoisseurs. In the meantime, keep it classy, connoisseurs, and I'll catch you on the next case. Are you tired of settling for subpar cat food? It's time to upgrade your cat's dining experience with Smalls, the ultimate gourmet meal for your feline companion. Say goodbye to generic one-size-fits-all cat food. With Smalls, you can rest assured that your furry friend is getting the nutrition they deserve. Join the thousands of cat owners who have made the switch to Smalls and see the difference it can make in your cat's health and happiness. Treat your cat to the finest dining experience with Smalls. Visit smalls.sjv.io/ccpod now to order your first box. That's smalls.sjv.io/ccpod. Choose Smalls because your cat deserves the best.